The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Nuclear power, something that by law in Ireland we're not allowed to construct nuclear power stations in this country to supply our electricity needs, but we do import it from other countries. It comes in via the interconnector. Much of the electricity we get is probably generated via nuclear on the continent of Europe or in Britain. But should we be looking to actually build our own nuclear facilities and supply ourselves that way? John Gibbons, you've been on this programme so many times as an environmental campaigner. It might surprise some people to learn that you actually believe that there is a case for nuclear.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. Good afternoon. Sure, I think, you know, we're in such a tight corner in relation to climate change and the targets that we've been set for emissions reductions that nobody who's serious about environmentalism can take any ultra-low carbon option off the table. I think that's really the bottom line. You know, are we crazy about nuclear power? Probably not. But I think it's like Macron said in France, you don't have to be, you know, a major fan of nuclear power to recognise its value, number one, but also to recognise that if you run away from nuclear power, where are you running to exactly? You know, the idea that we can manage a global switch of our entire energy systems to an absolutely renewable system anytime soon isn't realistic. It's not going to happen. It hasn't happened, and energy use is actually outstripping even the renewables that we're adding to the grid. So, you know, we're in a situation where worldwide we're only producing a fifth of our total electricity worldwide from renewables. And some of those renewables, Matt, are pretty dodgy renewables, or they're called renewables. I'll give you an example. The European Union, in its wisdom, calls biomass burning. They describe that as renewable energy. Now, anybody who knows anything about ecology, environment, or climate will tell you that setting fire to wood and other materials is not a renewable exercise. It's really a bookkeeping exercise. So even the figures that we have for renewable energy, when you look closely at them, a lot of them are actually worse than they appear.
And John, despite all the efforts that we've made to increase wind energy production in this country, solar energy, how dependent do we remain in Ireland on fossil fuels, oil, gas, peat, for the supply of our electricity?
First of all, we've actually done quite well in Ireland in terms of bringing renewables onto the grid. So credit where credit is due. For example, wind energy at times can be providing 40-50% of our energy, but we still have this thing called baseload. That's the stuff that keeps the lights on, and that's what you require. At the moment, we require lots of fossil fuel energy on the grid. So, for example, we've got Money Point down in County Clare, which is importing, I think it's 2 million tonnes of cheap Colombian coal a year to burn up the chimneys in Money Point, which is, you know, ecologically, environmentally catastrophic. And to top Money Point, we have three peat stations digging up bogs and setting fire to them and being subsidised to do it. So these are what they call the dispatchable energy. They're top of the grid. We also obviously have gas coming onto the grid, which again, despite some of the PR work being done about natural gas and so on, gas is a fossil fuel. So these basically keep the lights on. These are the energies that we depend on, and as we cycle in additional renewables onto the grid, we can throttle those back. It's very difficult, for example, say with a coal powered station, you can't just switch it on and off, and that's why gas has become more popular, because just like your own gas cooker at home, you can bring it on and bring it off quite quickly. But the bottom line, Matt, remains we have to decarbonize our way of life, and this isn't optional. This isn't something that we say, well, it'd be nice if we can do that. And I was looking for example at the IPCC, that, you know, they brought out their 1.5 report last October, and they looked at all the different scenarios. How do we do this? How are we going to achieve it? And in all their scenarios included an increase in nuclear usage worldwide. So this is from the IPCC. There was no scenario between 2030 and 2050, if we were to have any chance of hitting our targets, that the IPCC said that you can take nuclear off the table and have any hope of hitting your targets. So,
okay, but John.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, just quite simply, nuclear is too dangerous.
Sure.
It is just absolutely too dangerous that if you have any escape from a plant like you've had in Chernobyl, Fukuyama, in Tokyo, it was a three island in the United States in the late 1970s, it could lead to absolute disaster. It could kill untold numbers of people.
Sure, Matt. And the thing is, you've listed three nuclear accidents. Now, last year, right, worldwide, About 7 million people died as a direct result of air pollution from fossil fuel burning. 7 million. That's more than the population of the island of Ireland. Now, because they died in their ones and twos in hospital beds or on the street, they didn't really make the headlines. Now, when something like you get a nuclear accident, as happened in Fukushima in 2011, it makes world headlines and generally speaking, there's a huge panic. For example, immediately after Fukushima, Angela Merkel, who is actually a physicist, and in other words, somebody who should know better, she announced the scaling down and the withdrawal of German nuclear power. Now, that sounded great, and it played particularly well to the very strong green lobby within German politics, and everybody cheered. But what has happened since that time is that Germans' carbon emissions have actually gone up when they should be going down. And the reason, and again, I'm going to quote their neighbour, Macron, he said that Germany massively reopened thermal and coal, and they've harmed their CO2 footprint. This is Macron talking to his fellow French citizens, saying, if we follow the French down this road, if we decide for ideological reasons to shut down nuclear power stations, what we end up with is CO2, more and more CO2. And Germany has replaced nuclear power with lignite. And lignite, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is a sort of a particularly dirty shade of brown coal. And Germany has huge deposits of lignite, which they're now burning. And to consider that to be a victory for environmentalists, I mean, I really despair at the idea that anybody would celebrate replacing nuclear energy with some risks with lignite or coal, in which it isn't risks, there isn't a risk of danger, Matt, with them. There's a certainty of catastrophe okay. with them.
Okay, I'm going to read some comments coming in. Your last word to 0874100102. The government in this country can't build houses or get a children's hospital right. Not a hope it'd build a nuclear plant. Another one says, not in favour of nuclear power, stick with wind energy. Owen in Cork says, it would cost us about $912 billion to build something nuclear here. And Eilish says, no to nuclear unless we get our building standards and inspections sorted. I wouldn't trust the safety of any nuclear facility in this country. Just look at all the schools that have had to have remedial works last autumn. The latest failure is in public projects oversight. There's a bridge in part of the Ennis Ring Road. They had to have remedial work to stop it sinking. And all of that doesn't begin to look at the disposal of nuclear waste, which is another can of worms. Just ask the people in Northern Ireland who are trying to fight British plans to dump nuclear waste up there. Eamon Ryan, leader of the Green Party. That all said, doesn't John Gibbons make a rather compelling case that we should be looking nuclear on the basis that it has a massive reduction in carbon emissions and, with the exception of some unfortunate accidents, is actually in the whole way, way safer?
I would agree with a lot of what John said there. I don't dispute that we have a huge crisis and the scale of the challenge is immense. That burning lignite and coal and peat has to stop straight away, and there is a real problem in Germany that they're keeping going to 2038, I think. And that we have to look at every option here because climate requires us to. Nothing should be ruled out. I agree with all that. I think when you look then at what is the likely solution in Ireland? I think, firstly, recognise a number of things, that we have probably some of the largest renewable resources in the world in terms of we're one of the windiest country, and we also have a sea area that's 10 times our land area. And since Merkel, I was just listening as John was speaking, I said, since Angela Merkel has spoken, what has happened? What has changed? Well, actually, one of the things that's changed is solar power has come down about 80%, and offshore wind has come down about 80% in price, and battery technology and storage technologies have come down in a similar way. There is a revolution taking place. It is renewable. It's where all the investment is going. It's where all the technological advance is happening and where we have real expertise and knowledge and a comparative advantage to other countries. So I think we should go with that. We're at about 35% renewable electricity now. So on a typical day, about a third of our power is coming from renewables. I've actually just come out from an Oireachtas Climate Committee to join you, and we're agreeing, I think, to accept the higher, much higher ambitious, and it's a challenging target. This will not be easy, but to go for a 70% renewables power supply by 2030. We will largely get that by the development of offshore wind and solar. They're the two big developments. And thirdly, interconnection with other markets.
So hold on one second. How are we doing so far when it comes to the offshore and when it comes to solar? How much electricity are we genuinely getting from those?
None. Absolutely.
None.
Sorry,
we've got half a dozen pie in the sky turbine stuff.
No, I'm talking about we in this country, On solar power, to answer your question, Northern Ireland has 15 times the solar power that we have in the south, and they're not exactly the sunniest place on the planet. Other countries are massively expanding offshore wind. The technology, as I said, is radically changing, rapidly coming down in price. We have 6 turbines off the Arklow Banks. Anyone will know it there if they're driving down the Wexford coast. So we know it's possible. We haven't built it because of lack of political commitment to take this route. That, I hope and I think, is about to change. We will then, I think, as I said, if we get up to that target, I think what our country in the medium term, let's look at the next 10 or 20 years, the country electrical power, and we have a big issue around heat and a big issue on transport, and we should talk efficiency first before we talk any of this, talk about what we're using it for. In terms of, Eilish mentioned building standards, one of your callers texted in and she was talking about the building standards for nuclear power plants. We need to actually start thinking the building standards of our own homes so we're not wasting energy, so that they're warm and comfortable and we don't use as much power. That's the first thing we should be doing. But just to think that medium term horizon, 10, 20 years, I think we can run the country electricity with renewables, which is increasingly coming down in price. It will no longer be as subsidised. It's actually economic already. And in fact, we have a comparative advantage that we may well be exporting such power as well as using it ourselves. We will continue to use the combined cycle gas plants. We have a very large fleet of relatively modern combined cycle gas plants. They will provide us the balancing capability in the interim. We will also build interconnection with France and Britain and beyond, possibly. And that may, on occasions, be importing French nuclear or British nuclear. I accept that that we need to do that because it is low carbon and you can't tell one electron from the other.
So you're saying it's all right for us to actually import nuclear electricity from elsewhere as long as we don't do it ourselves? That's a real Irish solution to an Irish problem,
isn't it? No, it's not, Mac. No, it's not. It's recognising the reality of physics. We will have to connect to our neighbouring islands and countries to be able to balance our system. You cannot tell physically whether an electron is come on the wire from one power supply or another, and we can't just cut ourselves off as an isolated island. So you can't literally physically differentiate one power system to the other. But that interconnection with gas plants as the interim balancing power supply that John says we need, what comes after that, how we get that last 30%, in my mind, it will be renewable. I think the way the money and the investment and the technological development and also from storage and also what we will do in the meantime is we will electrify our transport system and our heating system, which is what we have to do. We have to stop burning all fossil fuels within 2 or 3 decades, and that's a dramatic challenge, but I think we can do it. If we do that, then you have this balancing demand in heat and power and transport systems that I think make renewables the most economic choice.
Let me go back to John Gibbons. John Gibbons, what about using wave energy from banks off the sea and solar power? Will that make up the gap in addition to the wind energy
get? Offshore wind, Matt. Sorry, just on that.
Offshore wind, sorry.
Because wave is a very long-term bet. Offshore wind is actually happening.
John
now.
Gibbons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hate to be agreeing, but Eamon is absolutely right. I mean, and I don't know anybody who's concerned about climate change who isn't cheering on the renewable sector. My concern is that we're up against the clock here. And I put a simple argument out there, and it's this. We're not in a position to pick winners at the moment. What we need to do is we need to pick all the near zero carbon options, put them on the table, and pick the best one, right? Let's not put on a hat, Matt, that says, well, I'll pick the best one, but I won't pick that one. Let's put all the options on the table. Right now, Ireland has a statutory ban on even including discussion of nuclear. So if we wanted to have an energy white paper, as we've had a couple of years back, we can't even include an adult discussion about nuclear energy because we've taken it off the table. So we do need to kind of catch ourselves
up. There's one final thing I have to put to you, John Gibbons. Yep. A number of people are sending in messages to 0874 100 102 to have the last word on this. And they're saying, what about the removal of the nuclear waste? Because as Eilish already pointed out, it looks like the Brits are thinking of dumping some of it on the border.
Sure. Right. Well, that's certainly one way of tackling the border issue. But seriously, right. In France, they've been heavily into nuclear in France since the 1970s. So they currently achieve about 80% of their total electricity from nuclear. And there's never been a serious nuclear incident, as you know, Matt, in France in 40 years. That's the first thing. The second thing
but
is...
But the waste. We're not talking about the Homer Simpsons now. We're talking about the waste.
Just coming to that. Right. The average waste for the typical French family, right? If you take an average French family of four people, the amount of nuclear waste that that family produces, the electricity to run... The family's requirement would fit in a Coke can, right? That's one family per 1 year in a Coke can. Now, what do you do with that Coke can? Okay, you've got 60 million people. That's a lot of Coke cans. The difference, Matt, is that you can, with storage, with deep storage in solid sediments, you can, for example, deal long-term with nuclear waste. What we cannot deal with is ejecting 40 billion tons of carbon dioxide okay. in a dispersed fashion into the atmosphere. So nuclear waste sounds like a scary thing. There's a much scarier thing happening right over your head. It's called carbon dioxide.
Thank you very much, John Gibbons and Eamon Ryan of the Green Party.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.